Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analysts Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your telephone keypad. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, CEO Arne Frank. Please begin your meeting, and I will be standing by.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody, and very welcome to AAK's fourth quarter and full year report. I'm sitting here in Malmö together with Anders Byström, our CFO. And again, very welcome, everybody, for this session. You have the material, and we intend to walk you through it in the way we now normally do. And by the end of this roughly 30 to 40 minute session, we propose to open up for some Q&A. If we look upon page 2, the agenda, we will share with you the main events, the financials, some specific business area information, then go over to our company program, AAK Acceleration, talk a little bit also about our new organization, the action plans we are running, and leave up for a few other items, and then a Q&A. Page 3, we are in general, of course, never satisfied. We never like when management express satisfaction, but we are happy to see that our results came in slightly above market consensus and spot on what we were heading for ourselves, spot on what we were planning for. We see an increase in net sales. But you all know AAK and the veg oil industry well, so you know we cannot look too much on sales. It's too dependent on raw material prices. So we look upon volume and EBIT per kilo and a few other key KPIs. What's good to know is that there is a 1% volume growth here, which is a net growth. Our specialty products grew a little bit more than that, and our commodity products shrank accordingly, and net up 1%. Operating profit in the quarter reached 251, which is a good level. And we all know that the 2009 number, and we've heard Mr. Byström's guidance all through the year, fanatically reiterating that Q4 2009 was a perfect storm of a number of non-sustainable one-off events. So all in all, we are happy to announce this result. And if we look then page 4 by entity, then we see food ingredients up 1% in volume and like for like, same result as the very good Q4 2009. We see CCF stabilizing, the same challenge as we have been discussing in these calls since the Q1 report 2010. But we are very glad to see that the situation is definitively since now several quarters stabilized, and hence we see a result of 106 million. And then we are improving in technical products and feed. There was definitively one-offs in the 2009 results. So this is the overall picture. I should also say here, but I will come back to that, that all our specialty areas, bakery services, dairy fat alternatives, food service, and infant nutrition, previously called baby food, are developing nicely. We are developing nicely geographically in North America. We are developing nicely in South America. And we are developing very nicely also in parts of Europe. Page 5. This means that the operating profit for the full year reached 824 million Swedish krona, and this is a like-for-like increase with 6% for comparable units and comparable currencies. We have an extraordinary good evolution of our earnings per share. This is, of course, because our successful work with working capital. Then we all know, and we will come back to that, the lagging effect of the increased raw material prices. We also had very favorable interest rates in 2010, hence the relatively dramatic increase in earnings per share. Yesterday, our board decided to increase the dividend slightly, so decided to propose an increased dividend. So the proposal for dividend is 4.5. With those introductory words, I leave the microphone to Mr. Anders Boström.
Thank you, Arne. If we turn to page six, I will guide you through some of the financial summary slides and the traditional diagrams. If we start with volume, I think it's satisfactory to conclude that, as Arne said, we are up in volume in the fourth quarter by 1%. This is actually the second quarter during 2010, which we have a slight increase in volume, and I think that's a good trend. Then we have the two diagrams on gross contribution per kilogram, and even more important, the operating profit per kilogram. And particularly the latter one, we are going to focus on much more. And there you can see that the rolling 12-month trend is quite good. It's down slightly in the fourth quarter 2010 because of the quite extraordinary situation on the fourth quarter 2009. But going forward, I think we can see and expect a good and stable evolution. On page seven, we have the operating profit, and that diagram, rolling 12 months, is, of course, also heavily affected on the fourth quarter 2009. Excluding that impact, we have a steady improvement, which I think is quite important to focus on. You also see a very strong development on return on operating asset, with the exception of the fourth quarter, with the same explanation as I had just now. The last diagram is the net debt divided by EBITDA. We are very pleased to be able to announce that we are very close to the ratio two here, so that's very stabilizing. But I will, of course, come back to the cash flow situation a little bit later. If we turn to page eight, it is important to understand that we have a significant negative translation impact in the consolidation of 31 million. This is the average impact for 2010. All the major currencies where we are operating is going against us, and the Swedish crown is currently very, very strong. It's very difficult to speculate how things will turn out, but if we just look at the major currency rates right now, the current rate is actually on a higher level than the average for  2010, and that's important to remember going forward. Then, Arne, I give the word back to you.
A small short spot on each business area. Food Ingredients, as we mentioned, a good quarter and a decline entirely due to negative translation effects, and 143 was an extraordinary result, as we said. Good development in all specialty areas. Good geographical development in large parts of Europe and North America, predominantly. We should also hear this business area is more than the other two benefiting from the rationalization program in Karlshamn, which is starting to also bring in some positive effects. Rolling 12 operating profit in the diagram, and here we can say going forward, we are prudently and cautiously optimistic for 2011. Page 10, operating profit per kilo, which you see are stabilizing at an historical high level. But again, we are prudently and cautiously optimistic that this can be retained, sustained, and developed further. CCF are turbulent business area 2010. Situation has been stable since beginning of the year, and the market trends we have talked about in previous calls are stable, and we believe that we are now from this level slowly improving again, and this is a good confirmation of our planning and our hypothesis and our evaluation of the situations earlier in the year. And if you look upon EBIT per kilo, page 12, you see here a stabilized EBIT per kilo, and we believe here that we can from this level step by step develop this business into the future. Technical products and feed, the feed business going well. The binol business seeing some improvements, and the technical fatty acid business also improving. The rationalization programs I mentioned, they are moving ahead according to plan in Aarhus, benefiting primarily our CCF business area, and in Karlshamn, benefiting primarily our food ingredients business area. I pass the microphone back to Anders to talk a little bit about our good balance sheet.
Thank you, Arne. If we turn to page 15, you can see a short summary there of the balance sheet. And, of course, the increase in assets is primarily in effect of raw material prices. It is accounts receivable that is up. On the other hand, the net interest-bearing debt are down significantly compared to last year-end, and the equity-to-asset ratio is at 34%. On page 16, I like to focus on the cash flow. For the fourth quarter, we still continue to have quite a positive cash flow. Working capital changes in working capital is actually positive, 243. But we will have to expect this to change significantly going into the year 2011. Already the first quarter and definitely the second quarter will be much more of a challenge, and I will come back to that later. It is important also maybe to remember that during the third quarter we built up some strategic inventory which have now been reduced because it's been shipped to the customers. On the other hand, we have some implication of the high raw material, but due to the contracts we have, we will have a delayed impact into 2011 from those. I also want to highlight the cash flow from investments, which ended up at 331 for the whole year, slightly above 2009, but it's actually below depreciation for 2010, which were at 376. If we go to page 17, we're just trying to illustrate the cash flow bridge on a year-to-year basis. And, of course, last year, 2009, we are trying here to show you a normalized cash flow at about 1135. We need to take away the very positive mathematical impact of raw material prices, which we experienced during 2009. And on the other hand, going into 2010, we have a negative impact of the raw material prices. So that's just a chart showing the dynamics there. If we go into page, or turn to page 18, I just want to restate that raw material prices have continued to increase. During the last three quarters, it's basically up by 45%. And please remember the sensitivity that we have in our annual report. which is saying that a 10% change in raw material prices affects the working capital by 250 million, and then you can have a pretty good understanding of the impact we will have during 2011. On page 19, we are very happy to conclude that we have completed the refinancing. We had at the end of 2010, we had 2.6 billion in debt and a very good net debt divided by EBITDA ratio of just above 2. We've signed the two committed facilities, making up now a total committed credit facilities of 6 billion with maturity of 5 years and more. And you might recall that during last summer, we made a commitment of 1 billion of these 6 billion. That is actually for 7 years. So we are quite happy to have that in place. On page 20, I'd just like to remind you of the impact on financial net going into 2011, which means that the financial costs, the interest on the current borrowings will increase by close to 100 basis points. And then, of course, there will be an impact of the negative working capital as a consequence of the raw material. So please bear this in mind when you predict the net financial costs. On page 21, we have a very positive information to the market. We have been working, as I think we have informed many of you, intensively to implement the hedge accounting and thereby eliminating the IAS 39. And we have been able to do this now effectively from October 1st. This means, in essence, that we have done a very comprehensive documentation of the already quite extensive procedures we have when it comes to hedging. As some of you know, it is a question of being able to demonstrate and document correlation, and that has now been done. This means that we have a positive one-off effect of the IAS 39 in the fourth quarter 2010, which is basically the reversal of the opening balances of 140 million. But then going forward from the first quarter 2011, there will no longer be any IAS 39 effect for AAK.
I think we all want to thank you for this. We want to thank you for many things, Mr. Bystrom, but I think we all want to thank you particularly for this on a day like today. I think this will have a good effect on the general understandability of AAK and our numbers. Dear audience, we now want to share with you just a little bit what we are trying to do now, what we are trying to achieve and how. We gave you a small pre-brief on our new company program, AAK Acceleration, at our Capital Market Day in Stockholm in November. A few more words on this program. You remember this is based upon the understanding of the executive committee in AAK and extensive talks, meetings, interviews with key customers around the globe, where the general consensus among many customers seems to be that AAK is an appreciated company. We have many potentials, but there is some space for leveraging our strengths in a more systematic and a more action-oriented and a more executable way. And of course, we must also continue to focus productivity and efficiency. So together with the executive committee, we have worked on a company program during the course of the summer and the fall. We rolled it out, we accelerated and finalized the preparations during December. We have rolled this company program out now in the organization early January, and we are now in execution mode. 12 projects, 7 on growth, 2 on productivity, 3 on people. And as you know, 5 organic growth product-oriented projects: bakery, dairy, chocolate and confectionery fats, infant nutrition and food service. Of course, we want to come back one day to the subject of M&A, And of course, we need to focus more strongly on the parts of the world where there is GDP and demographic growth. We have a good business in Mexico. We have a good business in South America, but this must be developed. Page 24, we cannot win the race if we don't push the brake and the accelerator at the same time. So you will see a continued focus on productivity, and you will see a continued and accelerated focus also on the part of our cost base that is external, i.e., purchasing and sourcing. In the program, we also focus a number of people and HR subjects. We're also happy to announce in this call that early January, we also rolled out a new global organization to better support AAK acceleration. And I must say that I am personally very happy with this team. You see the dream team on page 26. First bullet point, our organization is becoming much flatter. I have now 12 direct reports, out of 10 of them are members of our executive committee. When I joined AAK, I believe I had five direct reports or maybe four, and that was not the way to operate. Of the 10 members in executive committee, we are becoming also more international. Half of the team is Scandinavian, two Swedes, and three Danish people, and we have five non-Scandinavians, one British, one Dutch, one North American, one Mexican, one South American. So you see here we are becoming more and more international. Octavio Diaz de Leon running Mexico, David Smith running the European supply chain with all of our main factories in Europe, Torben Friis Lange, who joined us from the external world with good industry experience running chocolate and confectionery fat, Annemette Olesen running HR communication and CSR, Renald McIntosh running food ingredients, continental Europe, Anders Byström, Carsten Nielsen, our Chief Technology Officer, Bo Svensson running our technical and product feed business area, Edmond Borit running Brazil and South America, and Jean-Marc Rotzer running US. So a good mix with two people coming from the external world with good industry experience, five people promoted from internal, and then, Mr. Byström, if we permit the language, free from the old guard. Good mix, and this is the team that will take this company forward. So please accept this development on company program and organization, but I believe this is very, very important to have this in place to be able to deliver on the relatively high expectations we have for the long haul. So to summarize, on page 27, a good profit level for the year, very good for food ingredients driven by strong improvements in the U.S., but also in large parts of Europe and the U.K. included. A stabilized situation for chocolate and confectionery fats, strong recovery in TPF, and the rationalization programs moving on according with plans. A new organization and a new company program focused on growth, efficiency, people to help us assure and realize our potential for the mid and long term. On page 28, a few other key events that maybe Mr. Byström is better apt than I am to develop upon.
Thank you, Arne. Let me then first on page 28 comment about the importance of the fact that many or almost everyone in the executive team and a large number of key managers in our organization have made significant investments in the stock option program, and we have actually paid at the market price, which means that we have basically invested our own money in the company, which I think is very, very important. Second bullet point, again to repeat, there will be no IAS 39 going forward, commencing the first quarter 2011. We will not have any such effect. And the final comment again, just to repeat, we have a total committed facility of 6 billion Swedish crowns for 5 years or more.
On page 29, as you already see, we are reiterating a few items. I should maybe comment then that the strong focus on our specialty products is being reinforced even more. Bakery, bakery services, dairy fat alternatives, both very focused on health claims, as we talked about at the Capital Market Day, no trans fat and no to low saturated fats. You will see more focus on fast-growing economies. We have a good balance sheet today. We will not go into M&A for the sake of it. I've already today had calls asking about M&A activity, and we choose to not comment on this. This will happen when it happens, and it will be only cases that are bringing sustainable added value to our shareholders and to our company. Anders mentioned, but I want to reiterate, the strong Swedish krona and the translation effects of results produced in other currencies is a little bit of a headwind to us, and with a lag effect that we estimate we will see the negative working capital effect of dramatically increased raw material prices. We will most likely not see at the end of Q1, but somewhere April, May, June, July, August, in that time frame, we will start to see a negative evolution of our working capital, just to give you a heads up on that. But all in all, ladies and gentlemen, we want to report that we are here and our entire executive committee, we are all prudently optimistic for the future. And this was the walkthrough of the material we had prepared, and we now open up for some Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star followed by one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Patrick Setterberg. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company.
Yes, hello. Patrick Setterberg from Nordea Markets. Hello, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is relating to the food ingredients division. And your focus on growth going forward. We're now seeing 1% volume growth in the fourth quarter, and you have carried out some initiatives. I don't know how far you have been carrying out these in your organization, but my question relates to when are we going to see the effect on the volume growth from these initiatives you're carrying out in terms of growth, and when they're going to be when we're going to see the signs of them. Should the growth be slightly higher than we see in the fourth quarter or significantly higher compared to what we see in the fourth quarter? My second question is relating to the CCF division. If I remember correctly, we are in a critical phase when you're negotiating a lot of big contracts. Could you tell anything about what we should expect regarding the price level going forward? Is there still some overcapacity in the market out there?
Mr. Patrick Setterberg, with all respect, sir, and with a big smile from Malmö, we admire your persistency. First bullet point, 1% growth. And we admire some other large part of your work also, of course. Patrick, 1% growth is a net-net between increasing specialty volumes and shrinking commodity volumes. So 1% looks modest, but it's a good number. We want more, of course. Then we all believe in evolution and not revolution, and I checked the records back several years before I had the privilege to join the company myself, and what I can find, we never gave any forecasts on anything, more or less, and we have no immediate plans to change that behavior. To be more serious, this is something we are building up. We have very tangible action plans around the company. Some of the money we release by our cost reduction programs is reinvested in resources that contribute to organic growth. So when we drive productivity, some of the fruits of that work, we try to reinvest in customer co-development, the TCS function, as we call it in our company. We try to reinvest in sales. We try to reinvest a little bit in marketing. And we do this for product areas and geographies where we believe we can see growth. We are not giving any forecasts, but one thing is very clear. The sales cycles are quite long in this industry. As you know, we have two business models, one where we have a relatively standardized product and it's used in a recipe and the product is very, shall we say, replaceable, exchangeable, and that business can be products with a high price or a low price, but that business tends to be under strong price competition. But what we want is to, of course, to promote our added value, to work together with our customers in joint customer solutions. We are then, of course, under strong competition anyhow, but that is a better business model for us than for our customers. And that means developing products together with our customers. That means testing them. That means validating shelf life is an important factor in this industry, which by definition, very, very often, and nearly always, is the real life cycle of the product. So if someone wants to claim, I pick a number, 9 months of shelf life, you have already here 9 months of not much results because we are here to verify the shelf life of the product. And. So long story short, a solid, tangible, action-oriented execution of all this, but it is things that, by definition, is not quick fixes. There was a question also on CCF and the contract situation, and with all respect, Patrick, same kind of answer on that one. Yes, you're right. A lot of contracts have been negotiated during Q4 and beginning of Q1. But as always, we do not reveal any detailed information on that point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Håkan Philipsen. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Hi, this is Håkan Philipsen from Antrigo in Stockholm. I was wondering if you could fill us in on the CVE development in terms of penetration, i.e., how far has the penetration gone, and is it more to hope for, and what do you see in future for that business?
Thank you for that question, Håkan. First bullet point, our CCF business area, we are trying to turn the business area around to a more complete solution thinking. Nearly all of our customers require a complete portfolio of chocolate and confectionery fats that include CBE, sometimes various types of CBE, CBR, CBS, filling fats, and. CBE is a part of the chocolate business area. I can say we are prudently, cautiously optimistic also for CCF, and we are also prudently optimistic for CBE. Penetration rate, to our best knowledge and understanding, is an extrapolation of the penetration rate increases we've seen over the last few years. We see no dramatic changes of that. So we would expect an increase of the global use of CBE in the magnitude of the same kind of increases as we've seen the last few years.
Okay. On the CCF CBE situation, could you perhaps just, this is my final question, if you could comment a bit on the changes you see in the US market and also in Eastern Europe, Russia, market development, what you're seeing in those places?
We do not see any, we see a stable evolution. We see some increasing attention on the subject. We do not see any dramatic swings. We see a relatively strongly increasing concern for both availability and price on cocoa and also cocoa butter. We see the world penetration of CBE, as I tried to express, increasing with roughly more or less the same speed as we've seen the last few years, but we see an accelerating concern from an already high level on concerning cocoa and cocoa butter prices, political unrest in Western Africa, and so forth. Fortunately or unfortunately, we do not see a correlation between the increased concern for cocoa and the CBE penetration rate accelerating. We don't see that happening, but we believe a good steady evolution is not necessarily a bad thing for AAK. Then we can address all our opportunities in a systematic way. We all know that a CCF business and a CBE business is about having all the elements in the supply chain in good sync with each other and being able to service the customers well and being able to work well with the customers in the co-development of products. And we believe in the long-term evolution of CBE, and we are happy with the increase of penetration rate that we believe we see.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Marcus Bellander. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Yes, thank you. This is Marcus Bellander with Carnegie in Stockholm. You mentioned in the report and also in the presentation that the general market conditions have continued during the fourth quarter in the chocolate division. But you also said that you expect them to slowly improve from this level. You talked a little bit about Russia and Eastern Europe just now before. Is there anything else you're seeing, anything specific that makes you believe that they will slowly improve from this level now?
The hesitation here is I tried to push this question to Mr. Byström to even out the load of CBE questions because I'm afraid I'm just repeating myself, Mr. Belander, with all respect. We perceive ourselves, and like I believe many other companies today, that we are in a world that is difficult to predict. We know the world situation is most likely still very vulnerable, but we are prudently, cautiously, a little bit optimistic for the future, and what we see is what we believe we see is relatively stable situations, improving, but not with any strong derivatives, more slowly improving in a very controlled way, and that's not necessarily a bad environment to operate in. At least not when you know you're good.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Daniel Schmidt. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Yes, Daniel Schmidt from SEB. Sorry for my voice. I just want to ask you guys on some of the cost savings that I think you state that you did in food ingredients for the quarter. What we should expect in terms of the execution of the cost-saving program quarter by quarter, really, in 2011, and if you could give us any number of what you in terms of savings you did in the fourth quarter. Start with that one.
Thank you, Donny. Let me try to address the answer here. First of all, I think that most of us, at least some of you, have seen in the newspaper that we have executed the reduction, for example, in Karlshamn with a lot of layoffs. So the program from that point of view is confirmed in the execution, which also means that there will that will be done and executed in accordance with the plan. As we have guided you before, talking to you and the external market, we have said that you should expect to have that as a run rate at the end of the year. And I think the complexity is significant in doing this. Even though people are noticed of termination, it will take some time before they leave because of seniority, etc. So my advice is to be a bit conservative in how quickly during the year they will realize the savings. We are not going to disclose the precise estimated savings by quarter.
The last question, and thereby you're not going to give us any number in terms of what the saving was during the previous quarter that we just that you just announced in terms of food ingredients.
That's correct.
Could you give us any sort of sense, because I know you stated before that you've reinvested some of that, those savings in businesses outside Scandinavia. Could you give us any sort of sense of the split between realized savings and reinvestments?
I would give the following guidance. If you look at the comment we have in the fourth quarter here regarding the average number of employees, you can see that there is a reduction of about 63 on an average basis in Scandinavia, and of course that's related to the cost reductions, and I think that could give you some idea of the magnitude of the cost savings. And then of course, as we said, there are some of the savings that is reinvested, but we have not disclosed the exact amounts or the exact details.
Thank you. That was all.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star followed by one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. We have a question from the line of Peter Wallin. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Yes, hello, thank you. Peter Wallin from Handelsbanken in Stockholm. I would like to ask about you're stating that you're aiming for increased presence in high GDP growth areas. I was thinking about if you could give some color in terms of what kind of time span we're talking about here, and also if this are fully organic initiatives or if this is tied to M&A activity.
Thank you for the question, Peter. We are, of course, not happy being a little bit, at least we understand we can be perceived as a little bit secretive, and that's not necessarily a good thing. But you also understand that some of the questions, if we gave detailed answers, that could hurt our commercial activity. And a detailed answer to this question is probably fitting well under the headline of subjects that could hurt our success probability. But if you allow us to develop a little bit, this industry is, of course, to a not insignificant degree correlated to demographics and GDP evolutions. We are happy to see that we have a good business in Mexico. We are happy to see that we are evolving a bit in Eastern Europe. We have a good chocolate business in South America, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to conclude that our presence in Asia is not acceptable. We have some business there, but not a lot. So we're looking upon all this. The answer is not necessarily M&A. When you have asked about M&A previously, we can point out a number of strategic options that could be value enhancing to our company and to our shareholders. So there might be different ways of doing this. We're working very hard on it, and it's a fine balance how we will invest in this, because we need to meet profit expectations also. Some of this will be public in due course, and I hope you will hear about some of this in a not too remote future. But with all respect, if we gave you more details than this, we could hurt ourselves commercially.
Sure. Fine. Thank you for that. And then I would like to ask a question about your gross contribution, especially for food ingredients for the coming year. You stated previously that you've had a very, very positive development there for the last couple of years. I mean, going away from bulk products and more towards specialized products. We're seeing an improvement also now in the fourth quarter. Would so like run rate of improvement in gross contribution per ton seen in 2010 also be a good estimate for 2011, or would it be too optimistic?
Well, let me give you the following comment. First of all, I think we have stated already in connection with the third quarter that we think that you should more and more start to focus on the actual underlying EBIT per kilogram rather than the gross contribution. The main reason for that is, of course, that during a number of quarters, actually a couple of years, we have gradually reduced intentionally the quantity or portion of commodity volumes. And as we stated on our Capital Market Day, it is now of such a low share that it will not be possible to continue to reduce that factor, which will have a, so to say, negative impact on the gross contribution line. But we still, and I want to repeat and stress that element, we will continue to increase the portion or share of high-value items. And by that, we should and you should be able to expect gradual improvements, even if the absolute improvement rate will not, in the terms of gross contribution, be as high as before. But we should definitely be able to improve the EBIT per kilogram in approximately the same way that we have been doing for the last long-term or number of quarters.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star followed by one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. We appear to have no further questions at this time. I'll hand the conference back to you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you very much for your attention. We thank you very much for your interest in our company. And we thank you for listening, and we thank you for many good questions. We hope to see many of you in the near future. And until then, we wish you all the very best, and we wish you a very good afternoon. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.